Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I got a lot of good reasons to be glad in it. I'm here. I'm here, and I know Jesus. If you're here and you know Jesus, say praise the Lord, because there are people that don't have a clue. But that's something we're going to deal with anyway. Praise God, giving honor to Christ, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to the Father, the Lord God, Jehovah, and to the blessed Holy Ghost, our comforter. Amen. To all the pastors and friends and saints that are listening in, I say praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I just thank God for this opportunity to share with you, because this is powerful, because right now we need I would guess you would call this survival tactics. Amen. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come before you. We bless your name. We give you glory and honor, because truly this is a blessed life that you have made for us, and we're just beginning it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it is a long and eternal journey that we shall have with you in a great blessedness. Father God, we're asking that you bless each and every heart that is listening now, each and every family that is represented. Lord, that you would bless us with the intelligence, the spirit of your wisdom, and the revelation, a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, us, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available to us. Father God, we're asking that you bless the bereaved, that you will strengthen them with might in the inner man, even those that are facing challenges of all different levels, financial, spiritual, mental, marital. Bless them, Lord. Amen. Strengthen them with might in the inner man, because this is part, the good part is part of your plan. And your word has revelation on how to deal with each and every situation in the on the whole picture. So, Father, we're asking that you bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so we can be fruitful in every good work that is acceptable to you, that we may walk upright before you and be acceptable in your sight. We ask that you bless us, Lord, with the more knowledge of you, and we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, we're dealing right now with the fruit of the Spirit. Many years ago, I preached a sermon called Truly Fruity. And, you know, yeah, most of y'all too young to know. It was a song called Tutti Fruity. Truly. But anyway, you know, you have to think, when you read the Bible, and it's a sad statistic, is a high percentage of Christians haven't, because they assume it's about religion. Somebody coined a acronym once for the word Bible, and they hit it right on the mark, and I believe that was given to them by revelation of the Holy Ghost. It said, basic instruction before leaving earth. You know, we spend a lot of time in study, and our society has advanced tremendously. You know, when you think about when Jesus was on the earth, there were no cars, there were no planes. The only boats they had sails, and they traveled in a horse and carriage, and all that continued up until just about 150 years ago. Even though the mental capacity existed back then, God prohibited it for the very reasons that we have now, pollution. I was reading an article today that these giant fans that they're making to make electricity, now that some of them are wearing out, and they don't know what to do with the fan blades. You know, they're not disposable, as far as they know. Now, connection. Okay, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Not too long ago, and if you go to my website, you will find a series, millennialkingdomtraining.com, that I did on seven causes of prayer failure, you know. And I went with that because I thought failure would probably get people's attention, you know, because people tend to think they're successful. I've met people that have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, and they believe that their prayers get heard. Well, they get heard, but getting an answer is a different thing. And God, they don't know all the interactions and the inner workings that God will do and the lengths that God will go through out of love to get it done. See, but the fact of the matter is that anytime you run into somebody that don't know Jesus, it's not, you don't argue with them. The Bible prohibits that. One place is in Titus chapter 3, verse 9, because you can't change people. You can't change anybody, and it isn't your job. See, this is what this lesson, this is the connection in that all these fruit of the Spirit are to prepare us so that we can deal with people. They are to a degree, to a very small degree, for dealing with even God in this whole program. You know, I know people, I've met people that felt the same way I did, and I realized where they were. I remember a young man, he was angry with God for letting him be born. It sounded like Job, you know, but I told him, I said, yeah, take that up with your mother and father. they made that decision. God understands the complexity of life, and he knew it was going to wind up this way, and he knew all the challenges we was going to run into, and he more so know about how complex we are and how powerful we are and why we need the discipline that he has assigned to us. Because we think of just now. He thinks a billion years down the road. And if you read the scripture, you find that, like I say, for the period, I don't know really. The Bible doesn't tell us what happens with the survivors of the tribulation after Satan is finally done away with. They may continue. Far as I can see, and I won't go in the Word, they may continue as humans, regular humans, whereas we, on the other hand, will continue as reigning and ruling with Christ. I don't know. But I do know for sure, during that 1,000-year period, we will experience what Christ is now and how having that level of authority and how that relates, and we will have to relate to people the way that he relates to us now. And if you look, the other day, there was another police chief that I guess they had, we call it an open mic. There was a recording of him using hateful language. See, this is what this is about. If he's doing that with the level of power that he has now, what would he do if he had the same power that Jesus had? You know, Satan being an angel. This mess started long before man was made. in heaven, Satan wanted to be God. You know, it's amazing how it escaped him. If it was possible, he would be God. He wouldn't want to. It would have just been automatic. If you ain't God now, you ain't going to get to be God. You can be a little g God, but you ain't going to be the Lord God Almighty. He knew that. That's why when you go back to one of my earlier teachers, I said when God made Adam, he created a soul space for him. That's it. You occupy that space. You see the outline of your body. You occupy that. And one of the reasons I know we're coming, the end of days is speeding up on us, people are learning a little bit more about operating outside of that realm. The U.S. military is involved in a project about that. So this is serious business. One of the most dangerous things I witnessed was a man, a Christian. This guy, I can't remember his name right at the time, Edgar Casey. They might still have a video on YouTube. He didn't do nothing great. He moved a fork with his mind, with his spirit. Okay? That's harnessing tremendous amount of energy. It really is. You really got to understand what all it takes. Now, God wants us to get there. But he realized the dangers of power without wisdom, and more so without wisdom and righteousness. Righteousness, in my definition, is love in operation. because that's what it does. Everything, see, when you're motivated to live right based on love for God, which is, Jesus said, is the top commandment, it's really easier to do. Because you're not, we're not talking how, if you said the last session, I explained how love is not an emotion, okay? At least not this type of love. It's a description of agape love. It's a description of the amount of authority we have been given and something God has already put in believers. And we have to learn to use it. So if we go, it ain't but one way for us to learn to use it. If we got a love, that means some hate coming our way. I mean, it is that way. That is why I call this training day. If it was natural, think about this. Now, God could have just as easily made us into a made life without the devil, made life. It was like that before. But he has a plan. He created man is different. He's different than angels. Angels don't have the sensories that we have. They almost it's like a well refined robot. They don't function like we do. You know, people try to make like they do. You know, the only thing they do that we do is be stupid. They can be stupid. That's obvious because Satan was stupid. The dude didn't get it. You know. He was developing. See, and the whole thing was he didn't want to wait on God to show him what was going on. Because the angels are learning something right now. They've been watching us for 5,000 years, and one of the angels said, Lord, what is man that you even care about him? Because, you know, he done witnessed violence for 5,000 years, escalate. Now we got nuclear weapons to commit. For what? For violence. Because we don't want love to be the dominant factor. Think about that. All this evolved from love, of not wanting to love. And this is God's primary mandate because the power level goes up. By my base scripture, is 1 John 3:2. It says, for now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not been made known, but we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You know, that reads like a simple statement, and most people think we'd just be good people walking on the ground on the earth. And I tell you what, I prefer you ask God about that. Prefer you go before God about that. So, you know, I don't want you to take my opinion. This is my thought. I want you to have this opinion, and I want you to get it in your heart from him, because once you get it in your heart from him, it'll stick like glue, like potatoes. See? And I mean, you really, when you start looking through the word, you start, when you see the term glorified body, my body ain't glorified. You know, I had to go roller skating. I had to watch what I eat, how much I eat. I don't have no problems. And Jesus ate food, but he also appeared before the disciples inside of a building without opening the door. He didn't break a hole in the wall. See, there's activity going on. We see it, but we don't see it. And in our time, we have more revelation to describe with that activity. You know, you don't see, well, at least not in common terms, molecular theory written in the Bible. But that's what's going on. See, there we go with Romans 1:20. It says, think about that. That was printed. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even as eternal power in Godhead. Think about that. The invisible thing. Things, it didn't say non-existent. It means that there's a parameter barrier that stops you from seeing the other world, the world of God. When we said go before the throne of God, that actually happened. I know in your mind you're like, well, I was sitting on the bed, on the couch. I was driving in the car. Well, God saw you before his throne. See, there's things going on when you. That's why, you know, it's amazing. I ran into a friend of mine and I asked him about the book of Revelation. They told me it's a saint now. Scared to read it. Why? She gonna leave at the rapture anyway, far as I know. You know, because she knows, but maybe she knows something I don't know. But anyway, you got to get this. This is it's deep. But we only going to get it so deep anyway. Okay, we you know, I mean, the rapture might come in the middle of this broadcast. When you look at what's going on in the world, sometimes take a look at what's going on outside the U.S. because it's a lot crazier outside the U.S. than it is inside the U.S. In America. It is really crazy. I mean, I've heard stuff, and I know it's factual from the people that I get it from. You know, it's crazy. But then again, that's cultural. Again, we're talking about the Ephesians here. The Galatians. They were Gentiles. They didn't have God. The Lord wasn't their God. And when he's not your God, anything allowed to happen. You know, they don't have restrictions. The biggest issue, one of the big issues of the day right now is transgender and homosexual. Why? Why is that a big issue? It was never illegal by federal law, state law, city and county law for a person to change their sex. Why is it an issue? Because it's against God's law, period. I mean, that's just it. That's a Bible thing. That's on them. See? And we as Christians, you know, they say we hate, we use hate speech. Well, some of them do. I know they do, you know, because they're ignorant. Ignorant is you should be aware is information that exists and you don't utilize it, okay? Because it always come back to this issue of love, okay? Loving them doesn't mean I agree with their behavior. God loved me before I got saved. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believeth on him shall be saved. He didn't say God so, it doesn't say in John 3:16, God so loved good people, righteous folk. It's the world. And the world got issues. But this is what this is about, that we are supposed to become like him. You know, they do. They mock you, say, well, you trying to be like Jesus. Yes. Yes, I really wish I could. I work on it. Takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of work. He had it down pat. Okay. All right. Last week, we talked about love, and we went into breaking down love because I wanted you to understand. I don't want to get, this ain't the love session. I might just do a separate video on the four types of love. But we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, having become a Christian, my life should manifest that I have become a Christian. There should be some indication that I'm a Christian. Excuse me. Go with me right now to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Because, like, you know, I mean, if you've been a Christian for 20 years and you're still the same as you were 20 years ago, check your spiritual pulse. And the only way you can do that is by using the word. Because this is what is supposed to occur, supposed to change. Now look at this. Paul is saying, I beseech you therefore, brother. That's really, and he's impoundingly begging, emphasizing, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Will of God is the intention of God. God's will is his word. Plain and simple. So if I got the Spirit of God, then I'm supposed to, one, see, for me to know the difference between my mind and my opinion is separated by the word, okay? This is what the word does. It separates my mind, my spirit from God. That's what it is written, that it would do that, okay? And the reasoning is, again, God is looking at, look, man, I'm about to give y'all some superpowers. I told y'all, I don't know if I told y'all, but if you got Prime, Amazon Prime, they got the little movie series. They got a TV series, movie series. And I don't know. I think some Christians was involved because they got this little part in there with this young, one of the superheroes, about some superheroes But it shows the natural side of the superheroes. And it's not, I don't recommend it for children, unless your children are mature. You should view it first. It is rated PG. But you have these people with these enormous superpowers, okay? Just like you see with all your general superheroes, you know, laser eyes and break bricks and all that stuff, flying and all that. But they got they show their humanity. Man, it couldn't be more perfect than that. It shows their human side and what happens when two things don't occur. When they don't love God, even though they speak of God through that, and it's amazing how well they put that together. You know, they always thanking God and, you know, giving God honor and all that. And then you got the persons that got the issues of, well, why is it like this if there's a God? But it shows you what happens when you look at it, put any superhero movie on it and think on these two terms. Love God, love your neighbor. The villains don't love their neighbor. What is the Endgame with the Marvel series? My second oldest son had called me and, because he know I'm doing a series, and he said, Dad, you need to watch Endgame. And he know, I mean, I'm not a big TV fan. I really had to almost be led or really extremely bored. I mean, I like YouTube because they got a lot of fix this, build that, and all that on there. And I like to learn. You know, I can't watch TV and not learn. It's a little challenge. Of course, I like a few things. But anyway, he told me to watch Endgame. If you haven't seen Endgame, watch Endgame, because the primary character in there, that dude, is a prime example. And that is the level of power I'm talking about. God made man. He made him a god. But it took, this little 6,000 years we've been down here, that basically said we're in the sixth grade. So we got another 6,000 years to get to the 12th grade. You know what I mean? Come on, huh? Really. Because we looking at it. You look at your body. You got 200 types of different cells in your body, and you command them. Where you go, they go. If they don't go where you go, they die. Every cell fall off your body loses its life. And that's a constant. That's why you have to take a bath. You know, anyway, some people should. You know, we talked about uncleanliness and the unclean. Okay, see, so I'm not just quoting religious scripture. See, this fruit of the Spirit is real. So, matter of fact, let's go and read the fruit. Oh, I don't want to forget that. What we just read in Romans. Okay, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to read the word. It's just amazing. And I'm not the only one that quotes how few Christians read the word. And that's a sad reality. Because you want to know God's opinion on every issue, because that's what everybody's going to be judged by the word. Okay? The benefit package is in the word. And a lot of Christians, just like I used to work with people, didn't know they had certain benefits. Why? They never read their contract. This is your contract between you and God. So let us read here, Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to begin with verse 22. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. See, that now look, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. You know, occasionally you will hear or have heard or may have even done it yourself. Ask God to remove, like I remember somebody that I was working with, they was asking God to take away cigarette smoking. I had to say, God don't smoke, what do you want with your cigarettes? You know, and the fact of the matter is that we are given, God deals with us differently. There's a reasoning behind it. You you'll notice about cigarette, there's no nutrition label on the package. That should be a signal then. And now around the world, some places even have skull, bone, and cross. I think in the Scandinavian, somebody brought a pack back from one of them Scandinavian countries, and it had a skull, bone, and cross on the pack. So they're letting you know, this will kill you. Who wants you dead? Satan. You're one less threat if you're dead or if you are immobile. See, this is the whole point. Remember, that guy's alive. You cannot forget he exists. Paul said, we write, you got to keep, you should put a big, make you a sign of Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Get up and look. So when you go to work and them folk is not acting in love, you know what you're dealing with. Now, this is the thing you have to understand. See, this here keeps your power flow going too, operating in it. This is what why this is in the Bible, to keep your power flow going, because it will not work under any circumstance. This I know from experience, okay? You know, it's sad I hear a lot of why God, why this, why that. Well, the why is in the Word. I mean, it's sad. I can look back over all the experiences in my life that was negative, and I can see where God wasn't in it. Because I didn't ask him to be, or I didn't do what he say. That's the why. You know, it is. It's part of the package. I mean, you have to accept that reality. But you can minimize the damage by learning how to operate by the word of God. And why do we want God to not have rules? And we know he have commandments. We think there's 10. Man, there's more commandments. I don't know. There's like 1,800 commandments. Anytime the Bible tell you to do something without an option or a suggestion, that's a commandment. I mean, but anyway. And check out Running for Christ Ministry website. They have books on laws, statutes. You want to know. You really want to know. Because, like I say, even though we're coming to an end, I just heard a preacher say yesterday, the reason you can't put a date on it, because of repentance. Because what happens? More people pray. More people pray. You know, I'd be happy if one person get helped by this whole message. One person. I'm happy with it. Because that was one person that magnifies the force against Satan. Okay. So, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're still talking about love. And like I said, I'm going to take my time because people hear it. And they don't really take it to heart, I would have to say. I want to look at an exchange where Jesus himself is talking. Go with me to Luke chapter 6, because if you get it from him, he mastered it. I tell you, even the first time I read the Bible, I marveled at Jesus. I'm like, this dude is tough, man. Y'all know what y'all, if it wasn't me, you would still need a savior. When I'd have seen them nails was, from what I read on the historical account, them nails were long. They're like 7 inches long and square. Seeing them, remember Jesus said, if I wanted to, I could call a legion of angels. That's what the Bible would have ended. Richard called a legion of angels and wiped everybody, all the Romans out. That would have been it. No way. The beating would have got. Man, I'd have been fighting there to beat me to death. Calling the army and stuff me full of spears. All right. Matter of fact, I want to go start with verse 27. Because I want you to hear. Think about this. See, this distinguishes us from the world. This is where the renewed mind handles issues differently, okay? Now, first I'm going to read the King James Version because I want you to get all the wordage. I want it to hit where it need to hit, hard. Because I want you to understand, this tells you this level of discipline should raise your consciousness of the amount of power. That, even now, with saints that are, I got an answer for a question that I've had a long time, and I'm getting ready to bring my mind into subjection to see what it is at the next level. Let me tell you about next levels. I hear people say we're going to the next level. You know what? Earlier, a man of God told me to know what you're asking for. You're not going to go to a next level and then not be another level of devil, trust me. But if you go there, you just have to have stand in your faith that you are there to be to glorify God, but to be prepared for eternity. It's not just for you to get to heaven. You ain't got to work to get to heaven. Jesus done paid for your mansion. He said so in John chapter 14. That deal done. Okay, you're going. Okay, you got that. You got your ticket. You're going to ride. Rapture come, you're going. You die, you're going. It don't matter. Okay, so then the rest of this is for you to be prepared for the eternal trip. Because your next phase level of training in level two is in the thousand-year reign when Jesus is on the planet, and you now have this super body and this super mind. You're using 99% of your mind instead of 15% of your mind. You can fly to Israel at about the speed of thought instead of having to go to the airline. There's things you will be able to do, but all that is about power. And all God is asking for two things. Continuity of loving him, okay? Loving him don't mean you're going to like everything that come your way. it don't mean he don't love you. But this is to, you gotta bring your spirit into subjection to it. You know, I heard a man of God say, it ain't submission unless you disagree with it, you know? But anyway, let's dig this. But I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smack you on the cheek, offer him the other. Now, let me give you a little something. You know, in the military and in law enforcement, we have what is called the last order. Okay, the remaining order. In other words, if a lieutenant, which is higher than a sergeant, say a lieutenant give you an assignment, say, Fred, I want you to go and take a car and I want you to go over there to Southgate and pick up so-and-so. All right. So you're on your way and you run into a sergeant who is less than a lieutenant, ask you, say, well, Fred, where you going? He said, well, the lieutenant told me to go get a car and go over to Southgate and do such and such. He said, cancel that. This is what I want you to do. Now, because the sergeant also has authority over you, you follow his command, as long as it's legal, as long as it's moral. And their morals is a little less than God's. All right. So when you have a same principle applied with the military. As long as they're command personnel. All right. Now, Jesus is command personnel. Okay? There's the Father God. There's the Son. All right. Now, Jesus said, he said, in this place, if they smite you on the cheek, offer him also the other. Now, then that do apply to you if you married still. Even then, you know, women have hands heavier than what they think. Don't ask me how I know. Okay. Listen, don't never make a pregnant woman angry, young man. But anyway, all right. Now, as compared to in, I want to go to Luke chapter 22. And right quick, I want to make this plain because I run into these people. We have a lot of people, particularly from the Middle East, that think that we're supposed to lay down and die. No. This on Luke 22:36. This is the night they come to get Jesus, getting ready to crucify him. They're getting ready to arrest him. They're getting ready. Judas did the triple double cross, and Jesus says, verse 35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without person script, lacked you anything? And they said nothing. Then he said unto them, but now you that have a purse, let him take it, and likewise the script. And he that have no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. So he basically telling them the armor. Now, bring this, bear this in mind. Peter, all while he, some of the disciples, all while they were with Jesus, was always armed. That's why the Pharisee didn't bother him, because he hung out with a bunch that they were kind of, Jesus, see, when he went and got his disciples, he went down to the hood. He went and got some folks that just did, they would ride or die with him. You know, Peter said it. Didn't he say it? He didn't do it, but, you know, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, I just wanted to clear that up, that right now the last order is arm yourself. You can't protect yourself, because if this had not happened, if you get a copy of Fox Book of Martyrs, you will see if some Christians hadn't armed themselves and went to battle, we would not have the Bible as it is today. And we would not have Christianity as it is today. And we would not know the power of prayer as we know it today. So, you know, that's you don't have to be a sacrificial lamb. Okay, that's I just had to bring that out. All right, but here, on the personal level, when there's not a threat of violence, okay, he is saying, but I say unto you, love your enemies. You know, we just went through. See, I've had a lot of practice at this. I did 31 years in law enforcement. So I understand people that haven't had to deal with it as much as I have. And believe me, when God wants you to do that, your mind don't immediately agree. You know, you have those moments where you say, I wish God could read my mind, because I was having the moments. You know, I've been times when I was like wanting to shield, put on some aluminum foil, you know, that what they call that tin hat, so God couldn't read my mind. Because I'm like, yeah, one time it came out, Lord, you out your mind. And I'm telling you, God had me minister to a man. Picture this situation. It's kind of hard for you unless you were there, but you can grasp this. Okay, I'm in a part of a jail facility where they treat and basically get a, I guess the word is, I can't think of the word, observation, or they try to gauge what type of person this person is, so they don't put everybody together. You don't put mentally ill people with supposedly sane people, even in the jail, because, you know, some people are organically brain damaged and they get, you know, locked up in jail, a lot of issues, all kind of issues. But anyway, a classification of inmates. All right. So they bring in this guy, and I'm in there on TD, temporary duty. And anyway, they bring this guy in. I mean, this guy, his name, I ain't going to say his name, but anyway, they bring him in. Now, I'm 6 feet, 230 pounds, okay? So they're bringing him in, four deputies, my size. He's got on what is called a suicide gown. That's a piece of material that you allegedly ain't supposed to be able to tear up. But when demons, I've seen demons shred them. He's chained. I don't know if you know what a belly chain is, a chain. You know, they one-inch links. Then they put that around your body, and then you got cuffs built into it, so you can't do nothing. Your hands is just there, and then your ankles is chained together. This is how this guy's coming in there. And the Lord told me when I seen him. Now, mind you, this guy's in there because he stabbed his mother 50 times, got caught up in witchcraft. I'll tell you how I found that out. Anyway, so now I'm only got a second here. I'm in a booth. I'm in a little office. And God telling me, when he come out, tell him, double-cross the devil and turn to Jesus. That's all I had to do. But I have to do it in front of these deputies and a sergeant, okay? Already think I'm out on ends. Right at this moment. Now imagine their mind, I'm going to tell this to a dude that they done brought in there and stabbed his mother 50 times. As far as they're concerned, he shouldn't even be alive anyhow. So now I have to get him, minister to him in that moment. Now, so I got to put my feelings aside. I got to put my mind aside. That is not, and I'm going to have to deal. Listen, they could make a sitcom, a police locker room. That's a sitcom by itself. There's some torturous activity. I've seen them make people quit the job. I'm telling you. But that's another story right there. Same thing. You really find out what kind of Christian they will let you. They will find out what if you Christian. They gonna find out how Christian you are, ain't? And will let you know when you flunk. Won't hesitate. But anyway, all right. So anyway, when he come out, I did just that, and I got the looks that I knew I was gonna get, even from him. And I'm not even sure if this guy could hear me. I mean, he's literally foaming at the mouth. I mean, he done been caught up in some stuff. And I'm telling him, the Lord told me to double-cross the devil and turn to Jesus. All right. Fast forward. 6 months go by. I'm in a road car. Actually, I'm in a road truck because I got this short detail where I got to take several mentally ill patients from Wayne County Jail to the Ypsilanti mental facility, which is a major mental facility. Anyway, and I looked on the board, and I looked in the list, and I look in the cell, and there's this guy. Now, I'm thinking about how his character was, and I'm thinking, man, I do not feel like fighting today. I mean, this dude was off the chain, but apparently he had had his medication anyway, because he didn't give us no trouble. So we loaded him up. We get in the van. We started up, and he said, "I remember you." And I'm like, "Here it come." I'm like, and then, you know, so you the one told me to double cross the devil and turn to Jesus. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm the one." And then his next was, I did just that. And my life has been so much better ever since. And I lost it with my part. Started shouting. My partner said he was used to me, started shouting. And that ride he shared with me, shared on the way up there, whether he will ever get out of prison, I don't know. But I could hear in his voice that God had delivered him. He was going back to the mental facility because, see, just because you didn't got your mind right, you don't get to get out. But you can hear God delivered him. See, so when you're thinking on these terms, think what God is always trying to accomplish, and he cannot do it unless you allow God to do it. I want to break off from here. We're going to come back to here to Luke. I want to go to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. And you really have to study this. John, my man. John had the love thing. He's the man of love. He's the apostle of love. Anyway, in verse 8, I want to read. He used the word love so much, but I like it because verse 8, 4:8, he said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Think about this thing. We say that. We say it as a cliche. But what it is him. So when now we can go back to Luke. So when he's talking about loving your neighbor, God is saying you as a vessel to allow me to minister to this person in need. I'm going to do the ministry. I'm going to do the change. I'm going to do the blessing. I'm going to do the changing that's going to be necessary for this person to be who I need them to be. But I it's set up that I cannot do it without you. Think about it. This goes back to the garden when God made man. Or go back to Genesis 1:26. God gave man dominion. So God cannot come into the earth and just do as he pleases. He has to work through man. Both of them. Satan has to work through man. God has to work through man. The greater power is love. And for us to see how great that power is, it's like anything. You got to test it. You got to go through the change. You got to dino it. I know Pastor Gerald know what I'm talking about there. Some of the other folk do too. You got to put the press on it. And this really, the force lets you see how you are letting it empower you to do it. And when you come, I'm telling you, every time you accomplish God's will in that fashion, you feel good about yourself having submitted to Him. Because it is, I tell you, this is how you get to the next level. This is how God will use you to lay hands on the sick. Because every time when God wants you to go visit somebody that's sick, you're the envelope of love, God, that carries him there for him to be delivered to that person in need. I want you to remember that. See, that's the hope. You're the vessel. What God put in us, he put himself, and God is who? Love. So God put the power of love in us. So when God is saying this, he's saying, I want it to be natural for you to allow me to use you to minister to this person in need. And the worse the person is the greater the need. The greater the need. See, our last commander-in-chief was really no challenge for me, because I've had many experiences like I did with that young man. And I mean, I had to pray for somebody that made it clear that if he got the chance, he was not only going to kill me, but he's going to kill my family. I had to take him serious because he'd already had, we don't know, 30, 40 people, two police officers killed. He in prison for life. God gave me a mission concerning him. But even while he was in the facility, because God is looking at this, a person don't just get up as a child, wake up as a child and become a murderer. Something happened in their life that caused that trauma, that caused them to let go of life. I've heard situations that are just astounding. I mean, think about this. Imagine being sexually abused by your own mother. What would that do to you? Sexually abused. I mean, we know it's such a common thing, but it did not just start. There's a young lady named Lizzie Borden. I bet you there's some trauma in her life that made her. Something breaks down because it's not natural. Look at children. Something happened. And it may not be apparent. Sometimes it may be chemical. We don't know what the cause is, but God, regardless, if he's allowed full opportunity, can remedy the situation. Ergo, servants of God. That's what a saint is. Saint is a committed servant of God. Whatever you want to send me, Lord, whatever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do, that's Christian life. See? And again, see, God ain't God glorified in a situation where it's easy. I mean, look at what he's saying. Love your enemies. Agape love your enemy. Now, agape love, as we pointed out, is not an emotional love. He's saying, let me minister to your enemies because I can change them. I can bring deliverance. And all of us, that should be easy. All we got to do is look in the mirror. We were the enemies of God. Before we got saved, you were the enemy of God. Before you got saved, you were the enemy of God. I know I was. I was committed. Apostle Paul wrote, 2/3 of the New Testament? He was killing Christians. He was the Hitler of his day. And now he's revered because he got his mind right. Oh, God got his mind right, got his spirit right. All right. So this, like I said, people talk about, this is what people, I will hear people criticize this aspect of Christianity because you can't be weak-minded and do this. It's the extreme. And again, I want to say this, ladies. Well, now, after dealing in law enforcement, ladies and gentlemen, because we saw an increase of women abusing men. y'all probably didn't see some of the videos on YouTube or whatever. It's increasing. Why? The demonic force is meeting up with less resistance, and where they can get in, they'll be in. So you're going to see this, but this does not say you have to live in that type of situation, okay? I know the marriage vows, and you know what? Blame it on me. Get away. Get away. Get on some solid ground. Get secure. Get your mind right. right, you can pray from a distance. And if you don't see this, and I'm going to tell you about a changed person. If they don't pray, if they don't know how to pray, they ain't changed. They trying to, they just really being religious. Because my prayer life, I have to go before God every day. And he'll stop me with issues. See, stuff that I'll take lightly, you know. Lightly, you know, I mean, he's very conscious how sensitive my wife is. If I say something to her and it offend her, I can't say nothing to God. I can't put no request before God. He want me to, I have to, you know, it may not even be that deep. It'd be something simple. It might just be I was in a bad day. Yeah, I have bad days. Anyway, she said something to me. I can see how my face looking. I'm on the inside. I can see how my face looked by her face. Okay? And guess what? God in it, he wasn't buying that. With him, it's a constant. That's my daughter. So I had to fix that. You know, minor stuff. But again, it comes with practice. The longer you be at it, the more demanding he will be. He ain't going to be as demanding right up the bat. Bottom line is, ladies, like I say, you don't have to live under. You need to be in a situation where you can submit to God, where you can feel comfortable with God. Obviously, that's the wrong situation, because the man that put his hands on women, to me, is possessed. Because you touch, I have a daughter, touch my daughter. Anyway, but bottom line, I've never, my wife will tell you, you ask her, she came down. I know I raised my voice about 40 years ago, but guess why I don't? 40 years ago, that's right. And we had something going on today. I threw snow out in the street. And it was melted, and she didn't like the mess it made. Snow, it's going to melt, okay? I ain't say nothing, because I ain't want God to say nothing. I did exactly what she told me to. Okay, but what is this for? Disciplining myself to be immediately submissive in love. And it's really a trip with men, because they always, the devil try to provoke you. She's just telling you what to do. She acting like you's your mama. Listen, if you're married, she is your mama. You remember that little phrase that said, forsaking all others? That's why it's in there. They got them. They put them together off of the concepts and precepts in the Bible and relationship. They didn't just make that up. God made that up, okay? Forsaking all others. Mothers come first, period. Your wife come first. All right. But and that's what the purpose of marriage is. We may get to that aspect, because it's to develop your spirit, man, to the point right now. You know, when we train in law enforcement, we shoot, we'll go to the range in the daytime and we'll shoot the target. Then come back at night and shoot the target, and you'll be 80% within the area that you shot in the light. That's what training does. So the point is that you will get to that place where you know. See, you are. This is how I am. If God is happy with me, the devil can't run that. She trying to tell me what to do. No, God is telling me what to do. And if God is happy, man, listen, I just went and got my engine block out the shop from the machine shop. God don't have to bless me with that. They gave me a discount right off the bat. I mean, right off the bat, 10%, cut it off. I'm like, good, praise the Lord. See, it's a lot to that. I'm telling you, God will bless you, because he know he is preparing you for spiritual warfare. And again, if we're going through all this, look how thick the Bible is. In the Old Testament, you got a lot of visual revelation of the God-man relationship, the man-man relationship, man with God, man without God. And you get to see how critical it is to have to manage this power. I mean, Solomon, I don't know. Jesus said Solomon was the wisest man ever. And if he hadn't quantified that, I wouldn't have believed it, because Solomon did some stuff. But and to be intelligent. But again, he was a leader. And that's typical spiritual warfare, to go after the leaders. Man, we're having fun because the time is gone. But anyway, I want you to get this, because like I say, this is how we're going to go to, eventually we might get to joy. And if you master love, joy becomes easy, because Satan can't steal your joy if you've mastered love. Because you mastered being submissive to God, and that's a territory he can't overcome. He can't, you know, he can challenge it, but he don't succeed, you know. So perhaps this is your first time listening to us, and I make it a point to meet new people because I want them to hear this, get this, you know. I tell them I'm trying to put, showing that prove that Christianity is not a religion. It's a life. It's kingdom life. Just like we live in the United States, United States is a kingdom. You know, we have a government. God has a government. And these are God's government laws. These are the rules. These are the laws of his government. This is how his government, how he reigns in his government, and how you could tell that you're a citizen. Amen. Paul said that we are citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we have to live by heavenly laws. Here we have diplomatic immunity. But anyway, so if you've never received Christ, and when you're receiving Christ even, you're receiving that love I spoke of. That's what's coming in, that power. See, you can't do it without that. Believe me, I would not do it without that. I'd be single. I'm going to be honest. I mean, without the love of God, I'd be out there doing like me, and they call them players, them men that sexually abusing women. They ain't, you know, they ain't no players. Kids play. Anyway, but anyway, and I pray for them too. So pray this prayer with me, and think about this. Now, you don't look at what you feel. It ain't about a feeling, because the revelation will manifest. I guarantee you that. I mean, I know this from experience. Okay, you will hear the inner man. You will hear another inner man. You'll know he's speaking to you because your mind will be wanting to say one thing and do one thing, and then it will be telling you what the words say, even before you know the word. I remember times when God would tell me something. This is when I was early in Christianity, and he would tell me something, quote the scripture, and I go get the Bible, open it up, and it'd be perfect every time. And I'm like, be perfectly, and I'd be perfectly wrong. but I will be correct after that. That's how loving God is. He is what we want him to be. Christ is what he wants us to be. See, and we're going to get there, and I'm going to help you. So let's begin by receiving the love of God in his greatest form through Jesus Christ. Say this, Father, Lord God, Jehovah, I believe your record. I believe that Jesus died for our sin and that he is your son. And I acknowledge that I was also born in sin and that he died for me. And I ask forgiveness right now. And I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I thank you. I thank you that I am saved right now. And I believe in my heart that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. It's that simple. Now the fun part begins. Pick up the word, start reading. Pick up the book, start writing, reading in the book of Matthew. You're going to see from here on that the Holy Spirit is now in there, will guide you. And when you have questions, I have a website, millennialkingdom.com, millennialkingdomtraining.com, and my email is 7training@gmail.com. The number 7, it's one word, 7training@gmail.com. And with that, I'll say praise the Lord, and remember, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom.
Yeah, I love God. You love God? What's wrong with you? I love God. You love God? What's wrong with you? God, what's wrong with you?
Love him, my lover. Love him, my lover. Love him, my lover. Love him, my lover, my love him. Love him, I love him, I love him. Love him, I love him.
You ain't got the money moving by yourself.
Yeah.
And you know you did it with a lot of
money.
You know it's only one, it ain't nobody else. You got me talking strong and I ain't rich, I'm talking well. See, I'm forgiving, I'm forgiving.
Hey.
See, I done been forgiving, now I'm living.
Hey.
And when I say I love, I mean it. Cause none of this be nothing if he come in a mental shot.
I love God.
You love God. What's wrong with you?
I love God.
You love God. What's wrong with you?
Love him, I love him. 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 Love him